Welcome to 51st Dates. I'm your host, Jolie Moore. I now know that hindsight is 20/20. This season, I'm going to share that wisdom with you. In every twice-weekly episode, I'm going to highlight one of my postcards from my Take Note, Stories of Narcissistic Abuse project and the unvarnished truth behind them. A lifetime of gaslighting and abuse are the reasons why my 51st Dates experiment was the unmitigated disaster that it was. I think it was kind of funny, a little bit tragic, but still a mess. Join me as I take on the task of finding out if my future self can forgive that person who lived through abuse and came out of the other side, still searching for a crazy, beautiful love story. Ready? Strap in. Let's go. Hi, this is 51st Dates, and I'm your host, Jolie Moore. This is card 6, The Excuse. Friend C, why did you leave your marriage? Me, he was abusive. Friend, but he was so nice at a party last week. I just don't see it. I remember this. Oh my God, I remember all of these. How awful is this? So I have this friend, had this friend, Kathy. They leave and divorce. I knew it was coming, but it's still hard. And I met her when I first moved to Los Angeles. So I bought this house in this neighborhood, in a neighborhood of old historic Spanish homes, also known as money pits. And my money pit was on the odd side of the street. Her money pit was on the even side of the street. And she had been in that neighborhood, let's say 4 or 5 years. It was one of those, it was gentrifying neighborhoods. It is what it is. So, because it was quote unquote affordable for like that era. Now nothing's affordable. So I met her. So let me say this. I'm Black. My ex is white. She is Black, and her, well, also now ex, was white. And my ex, for some reason, really liked hanging out with other interracial couples because he felt like it gave him some sort of like street cred. I mean, he would say this. He was like, you know, like he was down with the Black people, and, you know, white people don't talk to Black people, but look at me. I'm all in. I don't know what that's about, so I can't answer that. I have some theories, but different conversation. So Kathy and I lived across the street from each other, and I lived in the gentrified neighborhood for like 3 years. I couldn't do it. The helicopters were way too much. Like LA and its helicopters and the police activity, like it was too much. I couldn't hold out. And to be honest, I'm not sure if it's changed because of the neighborhood being in the path of the helicopters from Venice, Boulevard, police station, heliport. So anyway, so we lived in this neighborhood. I lived there for 3 years, and we would hang out. She and her husband were a little older than us, maybe like 3 or 4 years older. I have to think about it now. So I was in my late 20s. She's probably in her mid-30s. And they were like in a different phase. Their careers were a little more established. They were about to like have a child. I mean, different phase. So, but we used to hang out, go to dinner from time to time, like have like backyard dinners because the weather is great. And I'm from the West East Coast, so I was like, I can eat outside at night in the winter. And she was lovely. They are very different people. She was very religious. They were both very involved in this church. They were involved in doing like good works, volunteer works, all of this very good. I'm not like anti this, just not for me, but she like walked the walk and talked the talk of like evangelical Christianity. It was actually one of the things about her is that she couldn't tolerate the backbiting in some churches. And she was like, why can't we just go help people and do what Jesus says? And why do we have to spend our time talking about it? And I couldn't agree more. I mean, she like got up on Saturday morning and she like made sandwiches and like would deliver them to people on Skid Row. And she would go to Mexico and wash people's feet and like volunteered and like did all the things. So no shade there. Shockingly, I guess. So I 3 or 4 years after I met her, I remember we had bought a different house. Actually, both of us had bought a different house, and she moved a couple blocks away. I moved like 5 miles away to the hills of LA because there are no helicopters over Mulholland, let me tell you. So I had invited her over. I remember this so distinctly. And so like I had dinner prepped and everything, and they were going to drive up, you know, up over the hill. And she called. Oh, I don't know. I didn't have a cell phone back then. So she probably called. I'm very late to the cell phone game. This is about me. Other people had them. I got one 6 or 7 years later. I held out as long as I could. So I didn't have a phone. So she must have called, I guess, my landline. And she's like, "We're not coming to dinner." And I was like, okay, most people don't like, I mean, LA is a little flaky, but she's not the kind of person who's going to call 5 minutes before dinner and tell me she's not coming. And I was like, is anything wrong? And she said, yes, my husband left me for somebody else. I don't know what I said after that. All I remember is putting the phone down. And I remember going to the gym. I was into the 5 a.m. like Barry's Bootcamp gym run. It is what it is. I was there for a few years, loved it. But I remember getting up at 5 a.m. and running on the treadmill. And my instructor at the time, love her, she's a natural now, says to me, "Are you okay?" She's like, "You seem a little off." And I was like, "This friend called me last night, didn't come to dinner that we were having with them because her husband left her for another woman." And it sort of shook me to the core because these people really, I thought at the time, practice their beliefs. And, you know, he had this deep belief in the church. They went to church together. You know, they had this huge, I don't really know all the terminology, but they were like somehow bonded together in their church life. So all this said, so this happened, oh my God, 14 years before I left my ex. So she had a prolonged divorce. It was hard. I mean, her husband left her for another person. They had just sold their affordable house to buy an expensive house and had just renovated a house. And then he leaves. He had gotten another woman pregnant, so he wasn't staying. Actually, her ex-husband's child is exactly the same age as mine, like 2-3 days different, swear to God. So she had a hard, I don't remember, 4, 5, 6 years in there. She moved, ironically, to the neighborhood I am now, because that's where the divorcees move. Woo-hoo! And she really struggled with his infidelity, the idea that he had another child. When they had a child, they had just had a child together, that they had planned this whole life out, and that he had, like, I guess, gone against God or whatever. I mean, I remember going to a party and his parents coming up to me and they're like, "We're so sorry that he betrayed everyone." And I was like, wow, this is a lot. So that's how deep in they were. All this said, so she had a lot of handholding through the divorce. I think she went through a couple of attorneys. It was like, it was hard. It was hard. Like, you know, the child support, the alimony, the selling the houses and all this stuff that was very, very hard for her in addition to the betrayal. So there were a lot of dinners and a lot of crying and a lot of handholding all over LA. I can see them. We would go to like this one Korean barbecue, this one restaurant that's actually gone now, where I went on a date, 51st date. It's called Tarte. That's where I used to go. That's who I started going with on Fairfax. It's gone. And all of this said, I really thought that when I was like, okay, I'm getting divorced. You know what it's like. It's a bit of a slog. It's hard when you're feeling betrayed or you're feeling like what you thought was a good marriage isn't. Homegirl's gonna be in it with me. And that was not the case. So I remember I don't even know where we were. It's vague. I can sort of see it. I think we were standing outside of the theater, actually the Nate Holden Theater on Washington Boulevard, seeing some other friend perform, mutual friend, who also lived in that neighborhood. She also moved out. So we were seeing this friend perform. And there was like a group of like, this is like an LA thing, a group of famous people get together and like riff on songs they all did when they performed together with different bands and stuff. I don't know. I'm not in that community, but I do go to the like shows because they're fun and the people are fun. So I remember going to that show. I remember standing in the theater, like having like, I don't know, a glass of wine or whatever they serve you in a plastic cup. And I was like, yeah, it's really hard. She's like, but why did you leave? She's like, I know he really loved you. He seemed really devoted to you. I don't really know what that's based on. I don't know if that's based on dinner at like some restaurant on La Brea and Wilshire, but okay, whatever. I remember she's like went back to some restaurant meal we had at that restaurant, which was, I don't even know what it was, long gone probably. And I was like, well, yes, I guess the public face of the relationship is one thing, but let me tell you a little bit about what it was like in private. And I told her that. And she stood there and she stood there. She's very tall. She's taller than me. I'm so short. And she was like, yeah, you know, but he was at this party last week with famous friend. And, you know, he was fine. He didn't seem mean or like antagonistic at all. And I'm thinking, okay, well, he's going to suck up to famous people. He's not going to like be crazy there. He's going to save that for home. So it was just disheartening. And I was like, oh, okay. But I did go out with her a couple of times after that. Because I thought this was a person really who could sort of support me because she had gone through a very similar process. Divorce in Los Angeles, when you're selling property, is not easy. Like, it's just hard. The community property division after a long marriage. So I swear to God, I don't even actually eat out this much. We went to this restaurant on 8th and I can see it. I drove by it the other day. And we're sitting at this restaurant and I don't know what I said to her. And she was like, I really just can't support you in this. And I was really surprised. And I don't know what she said then. I think then she blamed it on the dating I was doing because I was dating. And I was talking to her a little bit about that. And she did not appear to approve of my dating life. She didn't say it like quite directly, but she didn't appear to approve of it. So I sort of distanced myself from her because all I got was like frowns of disapproval or texts of disapproval. And why don't you just, I don't know, just not do what you're doing. And I wasn't like setting people on fire. I wasn't doing anything completely crazy. I mean, well, if you've heard 50 First Dates, it is what it is. What I'm telling you is what I was telling her at the time. And what I felt was just another person who was justifying my ex's not great behavior and not holding any space for me. So long story short, at the end, she actually did apologize months later. Like, let's say 6, 8, 10 months later, she sent me, I don't know if it was email or text, saying she realized she had been very unsupportive and she apologizes. But the truth of the matter is that she was very jealous of me being able to break away from this marriage, not feel bitter about it, and seeking autonomy on my own, crafting my own life, and dating, not with intention for sure, but dating. But she was only sort of able to send that after she had met and got engaged to a pastor in, I don't know, Ventura County or something. And it was only, I feel like, when she had the comfort that she was going to be okay in a new relationship that she could then be okay with me where I was. And I wanted something different. What I wanted was support for where I was on the journey. Yes, if you've heard 50 First Dates, it was batshit crazy. Not gonna discount that. But I needed help, support navigating those times because I took my crazy, abused self and threw it into relationships with people who were not appropriate. And I did not have enough guardrails and I was just looking for people to say to me, that's crazy, like bounce back a little bit or be here or there and not just judge me for leaving a marriage. I'm Julie Moore, and this has been 50 First Dates, the podcast. If you've enjoyed this podcast, I hope you'll share, rate, and review it on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. It will help others find the crazy, beautiful love stories that I like to share. Also, please hit the subscribe button on your podcast app.
If you'd like to know how this project started, my memoir, 51st Dates, is available wherever books are sold. A link is always included in the show notes. I'm also a romance writer. If you want to know more about my books, please visit joliemoore.com for more information. You can also follow me on Instagram, TikTok, and Substack at XO Jolie Moore. The essays accompanying these postcards are available on Substack. You can also follow me on all social media at the same handle, XO Jolie Moore. Thanks for listening, and I'll be in your ears very soon.